Welcome back, listeners. Thank you for joining us tonight in the Creepypasta Book Club, the podcast where we read, analyze, and discuss significant creepypastas, no sleeps, and web horror flash fiction. We are your hosts, Jonah.
And Wednesday.
And today, we are discussing NES Godzilla. The narrator, a lifelong fan of Godzilla, gets a refurbished NES as an adult, and his friend Billy snags him a copy of Godzilla Monster of Monsters, a mediocre game he played as a child. At first, the old game experiences some minor innocuous glitches, which grow creepier as the narrator pursues the Titanosaurus boss, which is not supposed to be in the game. Red pixelated eyes spawn from nowhere, and when he reaches and defeats Titanosaurus, he's taken not to Jupiter, the next planet in the list, but to Pathos. On the Pathos board, the final monster is a creature that Godzilla wouldn't fight until 1989, even though the game came out a year prior. The Pathos levels are split into two, one with no enemies, where the narrator wanders through a mountainous alien planet with a strange red moon in the sky. The other is a cave full of swarming enemies, crawling with strange eyes and horrible screeching music playing in the background. When he beats the bosses, all new, the exit becomes a tribal mask in an impossibly high resolution for the game. The level is a burning hellscape with a single command: run. There is some kind of grimacing, flayed scorpion which instantly kills your monster, and at first the narrator is gotten by it and is forced to use cheat codes to bring Godzilla back before he's able to beat the level. The next level is Trance. The Trance final monster, Orga, wouldn't come out until 2000, and he suspects this is some kind of hack. Quiz levels begin appearing. An emoticon he calls Face appears and asks strange or disturbing questions and reacts to his answers. He moves on to the new stage, a mysterious temple with ghostly enemies. Boss monsters begin to spawn in the peaceful planet levels. He defeats Orga and finds himself at the Hell Spider level again. He outruns the beast, but as he gloats, it turns to look at him through the screen. He moves on to the Dementia level, and the Face offers a new monster, Anguirus, which the narrator coincidentally had always dreamed of being able to play. There's a new temple level called Unforgiving Cold, lined with faces morphed into horrified screams, which he is convinced has some kind of genuine psychic effect over his emotions. In the final chase, he plays as the faster Anguirus. The chase moves underwater beneath a river of blood, and the flayed scorpion shoots out a xenomorph-style inner mouth to try and catch him. He escapes to the level Entropy. On Entropy, Face asks if he likes Mothra, and when he says no, Face takes away all playable monsters except for Mothra. He flies Mothra through a strange, peaceful alien forest, and then into a stage which consists entirely of an animation of a child with the head of a beaver licking a lollipop, in a shirt which he knows he owned as a kid, and then into a stage full of timepieces. The time-themed stage also features hourglasses, which change the frame rate and spawn enemies from either the past, prehistoric animals, present, the standard game enemies, and future, speculative aliens and lizard men. There's a toxic waste dump full of mutated enemies, and a peaceful winter forest. Initially peaceful, at least. Soon, raptor-like animals emerge and decimate anything living, including each other. He emerges from the forest into a field which he says came from one of his memories. The moon descends and splits, and drops a humanoid figure into the water below, which reemerges as a hellish moon beast. When he was a child, he had a girlfriend who experienced seemingly psychotic episodes, and one night, like the one in the game, she ran into traffic and died. When he defeats the moon beast, the game says her name, and demands that he kill himself, until the commands resolve in the grimace of the scorpion. He continues playing despite his misgivings. A few snapshots. NPCs emerge from a cave and commit group suicide. A single living creature in a gold labyrinth is dropped into a machine and emerges golden. An executioner smashing someone's head with a hammer. A shadow labyrinth where creatures maul him in the dark. The face of his dead girlfriend, Melissa, staring out at him. In the final chase, the monster pursues him through a red labyrinth, but he escapes again. Extus. A new monster, Solomon. He has to find the gem, and when he does, the game celebrates. Still the best, 1973. Who knows what that means? To reach the final monster in Extus, the replacement for Ghidorah, he has to go through a gauntlet of previous replacement monsters. The true boss is a chimera of all previous replacements, and it takes him ages to defeat it. The Hell Scorpion icon doesn't appear, replaced instead by a crucifix. Solomon cannot enter. It's a graveyard, with a floating blue angel guarding the premises. The Hell Beast attacks, killing and devouring the angel, and the narrator threatens the beast that he's going to pay, only to get another furious, impossible reaction from the digital creature. Zenith, the final level. He enters the quiz as usual, and Face, distorted and vomiting blood, demands that he get out. He gains a new monster, but the game refuses to let him use it. It shows him a taunting vision of a charred corpse in a burning world. He fights through the last stages, full of aggressive, distorted enemies, a twisted red version of the Blue Angel, a level where all of the background textures are made of the word kill, and giant amalgam monsters. A blue mother has hanged herself with her own unborn baby's bone umbilical cord, and some sort of clown demon explodes out of her corpse to be the stage boss. A flesh stage, where the graphics get another upgrade, almost realistic, and the final flesh boss is a nasty dog fetus thing, growing from the meaty floor. Yucko macaroni! He defeats the last of the kaiju bosses, and goes to the final hell beast level, a battle against the Red Scorpion himself. The creature's attacks cause the narrator physical pain in real life, and when he tries to stop the game, it freezes him and warns, "You're not leaving." His computer has long been taking screenshots without his input, which provide the only recollection he has of the fight to the death. He manages to defeat Red's forms one by one, just as the timer runs down, though he foolishly sacrifices Mothra in the process. When he brings in Solomon to clear the field, Red seems to have some history with him, and calls him a traitor. The narrator defeats him with Solomon, only for Red to respond by transforming into a massive, near-invulnerable new form and crushing his remaining monsters. He calls the narrator by name, Zachary, and confesses that he killed Melissa, being, apparently, the actual devil from real life. Zach is defeated, unable to reach his final monster, and is being murdered by Red when the blue angel, Melissa, intervenes and unlocks the power of Acacius, the final monster, and a literal holy warrior of light, which he uses to kill Red. Saved at last, Melissa resurrects the dead monsters and frees Zack. He calls Billy, but nobody knows where this game came from or why it was like that, so he decides to sell the cartridge on eBay. The end. So what do we think?
Okay. Red? Smash or pass?
Oh, man. The devil? Smash.
Uh-huh.
Red? Pass.
Oh, okay.
Like, him being the devil is, like, fine?
Yeah.
Like, he specifically is extremely, like, profoundly cumless.
True. This is a very... I would smash on principle? Like, yeah, sure, you know? Like, I'm not... It wouldn't be like if there were two things in front of me and it was Red and some other thing, that other thing would probably win out, you know what I mean? But like a monster fucking principle. But I agree with you. Like, this is a very dry story for how much wet meat there is in it.
This story is so boring. And then the last act happens, and it's like, where the fuck did any of that come from? What the fuck was that? Excuse me?
It has a similar problem that Ben Drown has, only this is like a creature feature wrapped in the curse game thing, so it doesn't hit like the tones of the curse game even. You're just like waiting for the next cool design to pop out. So the story just like sort of facilitates looking at art.
The comparisons to Ben Drowned are really obvious. Like, this story is so very clearly geeking Ben Drowned. And it does kind of predict the way that Ben Drowned was gonna end,
yeah,
like, 10 years later.
What if the guy was like, hey, guy, you made Ben Drowned, and you're like, my friend who I talked to, Ben Drowned guy, this thing is just like your thing, and he read it, and he's like, oh, fuck, it is. Well, that's my ending now. I don't think that happened.
Godzilla Monster of Monsters, like NES Godzilla,
mm-hmm.
does not meaningfully bear a lot of resemblance to the, like, the original haunted cartridge yeah, Ben drowned yeah. outside of aesthetics.
And but the,
what it bears the most resemblance to is the finale yeah, of Ben yeah, drowned yeah. that came out 10 years later.
Yeah, like, there's a girl, it's suddenly super Christian.
Like, the religious, all the extremely religious yeah. stuff? Hey, what the hey, why does the devil exist in this story? Why is this suddenly at the fucking last minute a story of, like, it gave me a headache. I was so baffled reading this. I was rubbing my temples. I was staring in absolute confusion at the page. Like, this is a story about how the main character, Miss Zachary, is the main character of the universe, and the devil from Bible has sought out to torment him individually, but he can only do it through a video game. And, like, Melissa, his girlfriend from middle uh-huh. school, died from because the devil has been targeting yeah. Zachary for some yeah. reason. And, like, I cannot get over, like, the Crusader yeah. core design of Acacius. What the fuck?
It's very, like, fantasy self-fulfillment, the entire thing. Like, I was super perfect awesome as my favorite video game. Like, yeah. all this badass sick stuff. And then I beat the devil.
It's crazy because he talked, like, at the very beginning, Zachary is like, yeah, I didn't play this game very much as a kid because it was really boring.
Yeah, he's kind of like a normal dude.
But, like, I felt nostalgia for it, so I got it. And then he's, like, suddenly, like, extremely good at the game. Like, he's just absolutely flawless at the game the whole way through. And he's always like, and it was so hard and so scary, and I was left with so little of my life left. But I managed to pull through with my incredible reflexes and quick thinking. It's like a video game from the 80s. Like, how much skill could it possibly require? Dark Souls, this is not.
I feel like Dark Souls creepypasta's untapped.
Because Dark Souls is already dark. Where are you going to go from there?
I can go darker. I think it's untapped. Like a syrup. There's a part where he punches the monster in the chest. I can only think of Jeff the Killer at that part. Like, like, punch him in his chest. And he stopped his, like, fire beam from the chest. But, like, in Jeff the Killer, it creates, like, a blood spray. You know that part? You punch me, I bleed.
This is one of the most juvenile stories that we have covered, and we've covered a lot of stuff that reads like it was written by a child.
Yeah.
The progression of it, where it just sort of moves through these extremely dryly described stages mm-hmm. with, like, the pixel art starts out being, like, not very good, like, not very convincing.
Yeah.
And, like, eventually it sort of drops all pretense of trying to look 8-bit. But, like, the designs do get better, but a lot of them are just really derivative.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of looks like he just, like, stole assets.
I wonder. Like, I enjoy the monster design, but it's very much sort of, like, fish bait for the space it was in, you know? You like monsters in this space. I like the little suicide creatures. Those were cute designs. I like the meat blobs.
Yeah, the little eye lemmings.
Yeah. The yellow zone made me hungry a lot. Those are my notes on the monsters.
The biggest problem with this game is that there is a game story.
Yeah.
Is that, like, okay, there are two big problems.
Yeah.
One is that this would have been infinitely more enjoyable if it had just been, like, an actual ROM hack that we got, like, an actual ROM hack playthrough that we got to watch instead of, like, seeing him blandly describe these fights with screenshots interspersed. The other problem is that there is no relationship between the plot of the story and the, like,
Godzilla
concept designs that are scattered throughout.
Yeah. I have twin thoughts. Like, they're, like, devil's advocate? Not really. I don't think that's the correct term to call them, but like the devils in this game, so maybe it is. The first one is, like, this style of, like, video game blogging is kind of a dying art. Like, people don't do it anymore. If you do it, you do, like, a let's play, you know? So I kind of thought that was neat in itself.
Because it fucking sucks to read!
I like to read it, but I understand that it's an abnormal thing to enjoy.
Like, the only thing that justifies it whatsoever is if it's something like Danganronpa. That's why like Danganronpa Something Awful blog was so successful, because being a visual novel style game with like occasional video clips interspersed works.
I found this game, I'm translate it and do something like that, or like, hey, I found this game, no one knows what it is, I have the old copy, let me talk about it. But like, if you presented it in a way that was like super hyped up and scary and just kind of like, you know, like left some weirdness, I feel like that could work. I agree, this would have been a better ROM hack, like My Little Pony horror kind of Sonic.ex sort of situation.
Yeah.
I just thought, like, the format has potential to be really cool. I think this thing, it doesn't work for this particular story, but I think it's cool to have a thing where, like, there's something else going on and you're never going to get what it is. It's just sort of like, there's something else happening, but the story itself is so directly about this guy that doesn't matter.
Like, yeah, the problem is that, like, it, like, there is nowhere to go with it being about something bigger than Zachary, because he is the main character of this story and of this universe. So, like, all of the stuff around it just looks like set dressing to be edgy and spooky. Like, what is supposed to be the stuff? Like, he says, like, oh, like the moon creature, the moon egg girl was based on a memory that I had. What do you mean, based on a memory you had? This is rendered in 8-bit, dog. Like, did your girlfriend fall out of the sky in a moon egg? What are you fucking talking about? Second of all, like, in the Hell Zone, the, like, hanged pregnant mom creature.
The clown thing?
That has absolutely nothing to do with anything that he's been talking about.
I heard, like, the disdain, like, I'm not sure if disdain would be the right word. I heard the tone of your voice when you were talking. Yeah, that was, it gave me some chortles. I had to stifle while you were reading. Also, it was really, 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 this is a personal problem. It was really, really, really hard not to say Jupiter. You get more stupider when you said Jupiter earlier. Because it's trending.
That's how, that's exactly what's happening. they got stupider.
Oh my god. It's like, if it was just like a cosmic core TM kind of like deep weirdness, I really enjoyed the TV bits for what they were.
Yeah, those were fun. Those were just like creepy and red. Like, if this had ended up just being like a random core spooky jump scare bullshit, I could live with that significantly more than everything in the ending.
This is like
being the way that it
like
was.
Like, if it was like a game for a higher level being and you were just like a human getting it and you're just like, hey, what the fuck was that anyway? Bye. Like, that's what, that would have suited the format a lot. Did you know there's a sequel?
You told me that there was a sequel and I fucking hit the roof. How could you possibly write a sequel to this?
Hey,
you
guess
sold
what?
It on eBay.
Hey, guess what? It updated on March 27th.
Of this year?
Yes. Like, you can fact check, I'm pretty sure.
I'm an abolitionist, but this man should go to jail.
He wrote something else that was pretty big. I can't remember.
Huh.
We covered it earlier.
Like, I know he, NES Godzilla was originally on, like, Bogleach's website, right? So he was probably sort of, like, in with that crowd, right? Like,
I
don't know much
big.
About early Bogleach. Like, I only got into Bog through, like, Awful Hospital stuff and his Tumblr presence.
Yeah, this is why I got big, though, because it's, like, it's monster-y, right? It's creature-y.
Yeah.
Like, review my beast, Bogleach. While we were reading this, I was thinking about the creepypasta cook-off stuff and how it's on hiatus and how if I was Bogleach, how I'd run it. Do you want to hear my Bogleach sauna?
Hey, Bog, if you're listening, Wednesday has some ideas, some criticisms, perhaps.
When every electronic implement in my house was like, don't do this. We're stopping you from doing this. Well, I'm more powerful than whatever forces that make my electricity work. So if I was Bogleach, what I would do is I would be like, okay, people can submit their portfolios, like their collection of work. Here's a submission period. And then like the submission period would close. It'd be like a month. It'd be like a small ass window. And then you'd have like that time to look over people's portfolios and be like, okay, here are these 10 people. These 10 people are going to do the cook-off. And then they would get a small window of time to do that, which would make, like, more people drop off. Because even though people have, like, nice portfolios, they're not necessarily good at getting things done in a small frame of time. So then you'd have, like, then you'd only have, like, 7 to look at instead of the deluge of entries. Uh-huh. And that would be my solution to the creepypasta cook-off problem.
I don't know what the creepypasta cook-off is. Because I don't, like, actively follow, like, the non-Tumblr Bogleach presence very much.
Annually, Bogleach would do a creepypasta open contest. And people would submit their short stories, their, like, multimedia projects, whatever horror thing they're doing, as long as it was, like, a creepypasta. Mm-hmm. And I think this was submitted to it and won 1 year, unless this was just a direct forum post. I can't remember. It might have been both. But the problem with the thing is, like, he was, like, getting a terminal velocity volume issue. At a certain point, it became, like, not tenable for him to read through all these stories and also get his own work done. So it's been on hiatus for, like, 3 years, I think. My solution would be to do it like people do high submission magazines, which it's what it essentially is.
Yeah, like, have sort of, like, an editing staff. Or public vote, which then gets narrowed down into,
Yeah, that would be super cool. I think that would be cool. Like, a public voting system would cut a lot of time off. And if you treated it sort of like that elimination process where, like, you might glance at whatever remains to, like, then further slim it down. So feel like you're part of the process or, like, just do the final entries or whatever.
Like, the problem with public voting is that it would probably end up prioritizing people who were already popular.
Yeah, even if you did a blind thing, people would be able to tell, I think. Like, you could just know and set people certain writing styles. And the cool thing with the volume entries is that, like, there are really good writers who you would never be able to pick from there, but there are still, like, repeat people you'd recognize who'd win, or, like, that's not even a problem, just, like, repeat people you know who submit largely. There's a really good truck driver one that came out, I think, before the Welcome to Nightville truck thing, or maybe it came out afterward. Either way, I prefer it to that story. I think about that often. Like, no one knows. No, I don't think it's, like, I don't think people read it after, like, the year it's out. Like,
Alice Isn't Dead?
Or Alice Isn't Dead, yeah.
Oh, okay. When you said Nightville truck thing, I was like, is there also a truck plot in Nightville?
No, Alice Isn't Dead. She's a big rig cross-country truck driver. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I know. I thought you meant, like, in Nightville, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, a book? What are you talking about?
I just want, like, the Nightville team.
Okay, yeah.
They decided to never name their, like, production company, so the whole thing is Welcome to Nightville.
What is it? They're literally called Commonplace Books.
Are they? I'm pretty sure they don't. Yes. I'm pretty sure
they are called Commonplace Books. That is the name of their production company.
Okay.
That is what they've always been called.
Huh.
Since season 1.
All right. Well, their website is just called Welcome to Nightville. They don't have a Commonplace.
Well, yeah, because that's, like, the podcast branding is more popular, but, like, the company is Commonplace Books.
Oh. Well, my bad.
Hey gang, peek behind the curtain here. This is the third time that we have started recording. The devil is trying to stop this podcast.
But he won't, because we have a higher power level than him.
We have God on our side. Hey, okay, the cosmology is really interesting. We need to because, like, this is coming from a very, like, sort of, like, it seems like biblical literalist interpretation of the devil, where he's like a guy who is like personally coming to fuck your shit, right? So is Godzilla Monster of Monsters, is Godzilla for the NES a game created by God that is corrupted by evil?
I think it's the read, yeah.
Because like the tools to defeat the devil exist within Godzilla Monster of Monsters, and that couldn't happen if this game were made by the devil, right? So this game must be an instrument of God, right?
Yeah, that's my understanding of the game, yes. Wait,
So
I think we're scratching deep, we're scratching the surface of something that has like infinity unravel potential. This is like a tool to like teach angelic beings on how to combat the devil, and I think, right?
Godzilla?
What? Hey, let's back up a second. Back up a second. Why was Melissa possessed by the devil? Why'd she have the devil in her?
The main difference between the finale of Ben Drowned and this is that in Ben Drowned, God does not exist necessarily in Ben Drowned. Religion exists. People with Christ illusions exist and are a core part of the storytelling, but we don't have absolute confirmation that God exists because the story primarily takes place within the like Ben system, within this like false alternate reality, within this like uploaded memory consciousness inside a video game. This is a story where God exists in real life. And that becomes a fucking lot to contend with for a story about how the devil has possessed your Nintendo Entertainment System.
Like the God figure in Ben Drowned has constructed the video game. There's no like in between here in Godzilla. It's just straight up.
Like, is that why his name is Godzilla in this person's mind? Because this is a holy instrument?
Yeah, clearly. What does this hate of Mothra represent in this situation, though?
I mean, because Mothra's the girl monster.
Oh, obviously, right.
Like, she,
Like
and she's
Mary
the first
Magdalene.
one to die.
Yeah.
She is the sacrificial lamb. Like,
Oh
but then, like, because he has made this initial sacrifice in order to
my
defeat the
God.
devil the first time, Melissa, through her love for him, also, there's so much to get into about the Melissa stuff because she's still 13, right? Like, she's still a teenager and he's a grown man. And this is a fantasy about, like, what if your middle school girlfriend, what if the girl you had a crush on in middle school died and she still loved you and like she was
What's up?
dead, but like she still has this pure eternal love for you as a 13-year-old forever, and you're a grown man.
And you can also blast up her evil version of her monster
Yeah.
harlot vision of herself or something.
And she rescues him with her pure love and empowers him to ascend to his holy crusader form. The crusader thing, I can't get over. Hey, NES Godzilla has a race problem. I already had a problem with the story using, things like mystic temples and tribal masks and all of these mixed aesthetics like totem poles with tiki masks on them, like a white person's assumption of what tiki is, like
If it was one thing where the game was like that, base level, like tastelessly bad, it'd be one thing, but it's not to my understanding of the game. And like, yeah, they're like generic
no.
video gamey levels that are racist and stuff. And so it's like kind of that, but it's also like, I don't know. I think if you write the line, it sounded Native American, and you could continue to write that line. That's like,
Oh my
hit
God.
those drawing boards again, buddy.
And that is baseline. If the story was just like some weird, spooky stuff, that would already be bad and very racist. But then, to go a step further and have the literal devil be represented by this stuff.
Like, right, you're right.
The paragon of evil who possessed and killed your teenage girlfriend and is, like, stalking and harassing you, and you defeat this thing that is represented by these quote-unquote tribal aesthetics that are, like, ripping off, like...
I simply don't think you need to do that,
like, Maori and other, like, Polynesian mask type aesthetics, as well as, like the labyrinths are sort of, like, Maya, Aztec sort of coded.
They're mazes, by the way. It's not what a labyrinth is.
To have these things be associated with the devil
is bad. Is
really, really racist.
There's a part where he does the, like, the mystic Egyptian sort of level, which is, like, you know, standard bad in older video games, or, like, now video games, whatever. Yeah. There's a part where the two monsters, like, blast out of the pyramid and blast each other. That was just, like, very Silent Hill 2. And I thought, are we supposed to, like, glean anything from that? Like, is that meaningful in any way to the story?
It literally, this is the most pants story that there's ever been, because it's just about, like, it feels almost like a Mad Libs that, like,
it does a little someone bit.
Drew a bunch of, like, pixel shit and then had to make up a story to go along with it. That's what it feels like.
Is the story serious, or is it taking the piss? I thought about that frequently, reading this, like, am I supposed to read this, like, super, like, is this a serious story, or is this, like, a parody story?
I think it's serious. I do truly think it is serious. I mean, because it reads incredibly earnest, like,
yeah, it does.
The one thing that I could be potentially ironic is that, like, we have this, like, sold your girlfriend on eBay finale, which I think is, like, just, like, a symptom of the bad writing that has been
online
plaguing the entire story.
Hey, you should look up the author's name and what else he did, because I know we covered something else he's done, and I know it's a big name thing, and it's just, like, slipping my mind. If I look at my computer for, or any device for more than 5 seconds, it's going to explode. So
I'll look
okay
it up. Cosby Dad.
Did we do something else that the person's done before?
Okay, I think the NES Godzilla sequel thing might be a April Fool's thing.
Oh, that's fun. There's lots of entries in it. I don't know, Jonah.
I'm trying to find... the only thing that's coming up is that he did NES Godzilla.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of a different person who's
just... Oh, apparently he did Normal People.
Yeah, that's
people.
It! That's the other thing
he did.
Yeah, we covered. I knew he did something significant that we did, and I was like, oh, it wasn't normal porn. I'm gonna feel really stupid if I say normal porn. It turns out to not be him. Yeah,
like, maybe normal porn was bad.
Maybe a story.
Like, that's the only thing that's making me think.
Yeah, story has to now reflect on. Like,
knowing that this is the same person does not make me think, oh, maybe NES Godzilla was ironic and it was intentionally bad. It just makes me think, oh, maybe there was nothing that was actually smart about
maybe
normal porn.
Maybe we were reading into that. Fuck us.
Maybe the stuff that we were bringing to normal porn is actually better than what the story actually was.
Hey, people should hire us. What the hell?
Like, okay, maybe this is, like, intentionally supposed to read as though it is being written by, like, a very young person. Maybe,
yeah, like, this is, like, benefit of the doubt, the best read possible. We're reading someone doing, like, written by a 13-year-old creepypasta writer, right? Like, this is, like, a thing,
Yeah. Like, someone who is impersonating a teenager writing as though they are an adult and is trying to, like, do, like, a bend round ripoff story. Possibly.
That's high art. That's, like, high concept.
That's camp. And also, like, that perspective also kind of explains all the weird stuff. We were talking recently about there's this Reddit post that Michael shared with us that's, like, a numerical scale of fake Reddit posts.
Yeah.
And, like, describing sort of the ways that stories are faked.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, one of the big ones, like, one of the really popular ways that stories get, like, interpolated is that it will be, like, a story that's supposed to be, like, based on your experience, but transposed to, like, a different age group. So, mm-hmm. like, you're a child, and you have written about, a like, a child scenario.
Yeah.
But you've aged it up, so instead of being about a conflict at school, it's now a conflict about, like, adults at work.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense, because this is the way that a child would act. It, like, there, it's possible that there's supposed to be a similar kind of thing going on with, like, middle school girlfriend eternally loves you forever.
Yeah, and, like,
maybe,
and like, okay, we're creating a scenario. So, like, maybe OP is supposed to be like, oh, my middle school girlfriend broke up with me. I'm gonna write a fucked up twisted story where she loves me in the end, but also gets, like, revenged on, because, like, my Godzilla fantasy. Yeah. We're a really cool guy. All the monsters.
Yeah. Who defeats everything with incredible precision skill out of a video
heat
game.
Blast. And my tail whips.
And it also would explain, there's a really weird line at the beginning that I pulled out and I was and I cocked my head at it because I was like, what are you talking about? Where he's like, people make fun of me because I like to play retro video games and people think that's weird that I only like to play NES games. And I was like, that's not true.
Yeah.
Like,
but it would be true if you were 12.
Born in the age range. Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you were, like, a middle schooler in real life, it would make sense that, like, your classmates would be like, why do you only play these old ass games? Come over and play Call of Duty.
I feel like Call of Duty would be retro even by a 12-year-old standard. You're playing Fall Guys.
What?
Log the fuck onto Fortnite.
This came out in 2011, Wednesday.
Oh. Never mind, you're right. Call of Duty. What else was there in 2011? A League of Legends. You'd be like, get on League of Legends, Slur.
The kids still play Call of Duty. There's a million Call of Duty games. A different one comes out every year. Kids are always playing Call of Duty.
You're right. It's the background heat of the universe, Call of Duty. The last bit of electricity on the final console, on the last TV humanity is going to be playing Call of Duty games.
We have... this is... We've decided an ironic pasta from the perspective of a child. Like, it is an experiment of
God.
Like, where the narrator is not only a character in the story, but the
absolutely
author is a character in
absolutely
the meta-text
genius
of the story.
I have no...
All is forgiven, Cosby Daff. And that's also why they're like there's so much like bizarre racism.
Because
it's like even in 2011, I feel like most adults would be like there's a deep lack of awareness at how racist the story is. Where like an adult in 2011 who was just racist, I think would like acknowledge that they are being racist. Like a man who was like.
And in normal porn, the level of sort of like play with that, I think. It's not necessarily like.
Yeah.
It doesn't ooze, this author is racist, but it oozes sort of like, you're on the grimy part of the internet and there is racism.
Yeah. What a fucking weird.
On a completely different note. I was trying to look up some of the references in the thing, because I'm not terribly familiar with Godzilla stuff. I should get familiar, but whatever.
I am not at all familiar. I've never seen a Godzilla movie. I've never played a Godzilla game. I am so unfamiliar with Godzilla.
We should get familiar with Godzilla sometime.
I have no interest in Godzilla at all.
Okay. I'll get familiar and tell you about Godzilla. How about that?
Okay.
I have, like, Godzilla friends, and I absorb things through Godzilla osmosis, and I've seen, like, Godzilla movies through that, but not like there's a difference between watching a Godzilla movie and being into Godzilla, you know?
Yeah.
In my like really surface level research, I found how accepting the Godzilla fandom is towards horror things about Godzilla in a way that you don't normally see about like the base thing a horror thing is based on, you know? Like people were like, oh yeah, I love this creepypasta, there's so many Godzilla monsters in it. Like
I actually heard the opposite. Like, I heard that a bunch of people really hate this story.
Oh, that's not what I found when I was looking at
it
stuff.
Might be like a full-on like fandom split kind of thing where
oh
some
my
people
god
are like, oh
probably
yay, my fun fan service, like my
yeah.
cheesy like junk food creepy pasta.
Yeah,
and then
people,
some
that's how
people
I was
who are
reading,
like,
yeah.
this is a bunch of fucking bullshit, because apparently
Probably,
people also
yeah.
hate the ending.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't see any love for this, like, I didn't see people, like, citing certain things, like, but people are just like, oh yeah, that reference was so cool when he did that part, or like, yeah, that's just a meme the author put in there, but it was cool to see my monster fave. Like, yeah, it was all of that. I was like, well, it's refreshing to see all these positive, because usually when there's a horror
Oh.
thing based on something, it's like universally like, fuck you for doing this sick and twisted thing to my favorite Blorbo or whatever.
Oh. Yeah, like the like MLP horror reaction where
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Cupcakes is the most sickest and twistedest, most fucked up and evil thing that anybody has
Yeah, how
ever done. It's like, it
dare you?
is mild.
Yeah,
This is a
yeah.
mild story.
And I saw a lot of people recommending other things like that, so it just wasn't like because the story is popular, people knew it. Like, people were like not necessarily invested in horror based on their posting and talking about it, but they were like, oh yeah, this series exists and I think that's cool that people are looking at Godzilla. Like, there's this one
Yeah.
that's popular and I watched it. I really recommend to, like, not watching it while you listen to it, because I think the story is pretty tight, but the visuals are pretty awful. No offense. It's The Man in the Suit. It's like an analog horror Godzilla thing. The story is pretty like legit. Like, the story is about stuff, but like, I think you should just like watch it as though it's a radio drama, and to get the story. Like, especially if you're
Yeah.
not into that kind of like analog horror art.
And you know that I'm not. You know I fucking like analog horror visuals tend more often than not to
Yeah.
just fully piss me off.
Yeah.
Like.
So yeah, like I think you could probably like crunch it in a day or something and just like listen to the story. It has a lot of like silly horror convoluted stuff, but it's like about something. And I think that's pretty dope for a thing to be about something.
Because, like, the thing, like, Godzilla fans are so devoted to their thing. They love their thing. But, like, Godzilla is a massive and, like, honestly unapproachable franchise. Like, the
Yeah.
way that a lot of people feel about, like, Doctor Who
Yeah.
is, I think, the way that I feel about Godzilla. Because it's
From
like,
the other side of the
there's too
glass.
much. There's, like, too much here.
You
Like,
can't like reach,
I can't
yeah.
get into it.
Like, you know those like mobile mob games? You got Good Baby, Evil Baby. That's all, that's Godzilla, Doctor Who, that's all you get. That's too much information for one person.
Even like the biggest Doctor Who fan in the world. I haven't watched like any old Who. I haven't watched most of the spin-offs. I just like I care a lot about the main series. I haven't even fucking caught up on the main series in a couple years because like all the stuff with 13 made me so angry. I was
I
so
feel like
pissed.
there should be like people. I feel like you should like a residency, but for like watching Doctor Who, like people who talk about media.
I'm trying to get Michael into Doctor Who right now. I'm like,
Come
Michael, it's actually so
on.
approachable if you just start watching it. And he's like, oh, but there's so much, there's so many seasons.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's fine. It, like, it's
Don't just
fine.
don't worry
There's
about
only like
it.
12 episodes per
You pop
season.
it.
Michael, just watch Doctor Who with
You need one of those connector things to connect it to the TV so you can have the computers going at the same time. Like, then you won't have, like, then it'll just be on in the background. You can run Doctor Who 24/7 and get through it all.
Fucking 2 month Doctor Who lockdown.
I think, yeah, I think that's a perfectly valid way to watch Doctor Who. I watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer that way.
I have
I,
not just
yeah.
ever
And
watching Buffy. It
it's
just
not,
like it's because I hate
yeah,
comedy,
yeah.
frankly.
It's not long. It's not anywhere near as long, but like the only way I could have gotten through it was watching it back to back and back. Yeah.
It just seems exhausting. Like it has nothing to do with the length. It's just that I'm like, oh, this is so
It
deeply unappealing
yeah,
to me
it
in
is.
every way. I cannot imagine watching it and not wanting to rip my hair
It was
out.
it's like mesmerizing in its badness. There's lots of stuff I like about it, but in the same sense that it's a bad show. Everyone is given like 9 billion% to this garbage heap they're in. It's so fun.
Well, I mean, because like Joss Whedon probably would have like followed them to their homes and beaten them with baseball bats if they hadn't. Like,
The fear in their face during the scenes is us real fear.
he's an absolute fucking monster to people on set, apparently. Godzilla has like so much that goes into it, like, outside of just, like, the main movies, there is so much. Like, so if there was something that I was, like, extremely into, like, had, like, devoted so mm-hmm. much of my time to the obscure corners of this thing, and I got to see someone, like, represent that in, like, a piece of, like, derivative work, like, it's like seeing, like, a...
Like, there was a Kingdom Hearts creepypasta.
God, I... look.
Yes?
Would I write a Kingdom Hearts creepypasta? Yes?
I think, what if you did? I think you should.
I want video game creepypasta to come back, not because it was good.
It's an art.
I feel like we kind of lost something when people decided that video game creepypasta was, like, lame and uncool. Like, it is lame and uncool. That's the, like, okay, that's the thing. You have to accept that, look, we're all writing a bunch of stupid bullshit, right? This is horror.
Read the My Little Pony thing a few minutes ago. Like, recently people have been on trending doing, like, My Little Pony horror where they get, like, infected and they're like, infection rate 9 billion, got the zombie. I actually know these diseases, I don't know, I'm acting like I don't, but, like, where the ponies get all fucked up on diseases and they're calling it infection AU and people were like, well, My Little Pony horror has come back. People have been doing this sort of, like, they're barbaric. Cupcakes are virtuous infection AU. Like, guys, that's not it. I don't...
Their barbaric Nest Godzilla are glorious Ben Drown.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's fun.
Whether it is intentionally bad or not, it did make me appreciate Ben Drown in a new light, because even though Ben Drown has a whole bunch of stupid horseshit in it, it is mostly all, like, pretty
solid
tightly
story.
Written. Like, it doesn't bring in a lot of stuff that is not related to the story's core themes. You do have to identify what those themes are, but, like, they're there.
Even the fucking stupid stuff in Ben Drown still, like, resonates in Ben Drown's, like, meta lore.
When you take Ben Drown as a piece of, like, personal fiction about this character, it really works because it is focused so deeply on this one guy's, like, fucking neuroses and hang-ups and his Jesus complex and shit. And then you compare it to the absolute chaos of NES Godzilla. I almost, like, especially if this is an ironic story, and I'm still not sure it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Like, I feel like there is some kind of encoded message in NES Godzilla that I am not understanding because I don't know enough about Godzilla. Like, in Ben Drowned, right, part of the storytelling is that it requires some amount of Zelda knowledge to act as a cipher to help you understand what is happening in, like, the meta narrative of the story. So, like, there might be something that we are, like, fundamentally
oh,
missing.
Fuck, we should have probably done some Godzilla research before doing this then, huh? Well, whatever.
I would never stoop that low.
My take on it is, it's definitely a creature feature, and its goal is to get as many creature designs possible, because that's what you do in this space of monster writing art.
The problem is, like, what would we even research in order to understand what's going on here?
Oh, man. I thought...
What could we possibly, like, search for that would help us unlock this story?
Oh, man, we'd be, like, some deep scholars. What if, oh, man, pay us tons of money and we'll do a Nest Godzilla spinoff where we try to understand Nest Godzilla via watching Godzilla things?
I think also part of the reason why I'm not sure if I buy that this is supposed to be intentionally bad is that, like, on the Creepypasta archive website, which is where I read this, a lot of people were just like really, really enthusiastic about the story, like in the comments. Pretty much everyone was like, wow, I love NES Godzilla. Like 10 out of 10. Love this story. One of the best creepypastas that there's ever been. And then also, like, one of the comments that I saw was, imagine buying a middle school girl on eBay. That would be epic. No. Zach literally selling his girlfriend. LOL. Like, first of all, die. Second of all, there's such, like, unironic enthusiasm for this story that it makes me think that it is not ironic, that it is just, like, the actions of someone who is, like, wants to tell a story about their favorite video game or, like, about their favorite franchise. Like, I don't know.
I read it on the author's blog space where the stories are collected, and the formatting is broken a little bit for the questions. And at one part, I'm like, I think you should fix this because it makes it kind of, like, it doesn't make it difficult to read. I can read without, like, it's like, oh, you should probably fix this. But at the same time, it kind of adds to the fact that you just copy-pasted it and it broke. It's kind of neat. But if you were to fix it, I would definitely put the faces in the question section. I don't know how realistically friendly that is for your website server or anything, but I was having to do, like, I had the faces in, like, a different window so I could check, and, like, you know, I felt like that was pretty significant to the plot.
I mean, that's how it is, that's how it's listed, like, that's how it's meant to be read. I that's not a formatting problem.
Oh really? Oh okay.
No, yeah, that's how it does on the Creepypasta website as well. I'm pretty sure that's just how it is. Like, the faces are not shown in visual form. It's just like
the brackets you'd make to make a list, like they're broken on the website. So it's like bracket UIL whatever /, you know, between the questions. You can go to this person's blog and look at it, because otherwise I would do it. But again, I don't want to make my stuff to explode. You also eyed me right away. I'm just explaining what it looks like poorly. It's just, like, a formatting error that was copy-pasted over. And it's like, well, that's an interesting thing you decided not to fix, I guess. What was up with the face? What was up with any of that?
Well, yeah. What was up with, was like, that God? Face turns out to be a good guy?
I think it was God.
I don't know what face was supposed to represent or be. Because face Holy is... Spirit. Face is killed, I guess, and then is brought back along with all the dead monsters by Melissa at the end. It, like, face, I guess, is being, like, corrupted by the influence.
He's really your best friend. Yeah, a Judas figure.
But, like, why was that there? It was just because it was, like, spooky. It is just because this is a response to Ben drowned. You can tell it really, really closely. Like
it's the Ben drowned, like, Cleverbot.
Yeah, it's the stand-in for Cleverbot, but, like, he didn't want to copy it, or he didn't want it to seem like the narrator of the creepypasta was directly copying it, so, like, he just inserted, like a scary face that asks him questions and has weird responses, but then it turned, like, because there's only one fundamental source of evil in the game, and it's the devil, the face also has to be sort of, like, ambivalently good. I really thought face was gonna end up being the Ben of the story, and I was like, oh, what a fun little pervert.
But it turns out
the face was just nothing.
Yeah, what a shame. I think we should come up with theories on why Melissa was in leagues with the devil and then was put in this cartridge.
Melissa was not in league with the devil. Like Melissa was like killed because she was possessed by the devil.
Yeah. Like, why was she possessed?
She was an innocent who was tortured to death by Satan.
Okay, it's just like because Satan felt like it, I guess.
That's why she represents the blue angel.
Yeah, I know. The devil and Melissa was a thing prior to the guy playing the game. Like,
well, yeah.
Yeah, like, what? I want to build theory crafting for how that happened.
Evil is omnipresent. Evil is everywhere. And evil ended up infecting Melissa's life specifically so that she could kill herself in front of Zachary.
Oh, that's true. That's pretty funny.
Changing the course of his life forever.
You're right. That's a classic. Timeless, always funny. You're right.
Functionally, within the narrative, that is what happened. Like, she exists only because she is the sad backstory girlfriend who kills herself in front of the protagonist.
Is the same with the cat.
To change the course of his life. She doesn't actually matter. Her only function is to be the beautiful, timeless angel that can give him some sort of protection at the end. Yeah.
I really enjoy our theory of this is a 13-year-old trying to write older while still hooked up, while still being 13. But, men will be obsessed with their middle school girlfriends.
Okay. The concept of a pedophile, and I'm going somewhere with this, the concept of a pedophile has a lot of, weird cultural baggage in our society. Because, there's sort of, there is what actual pedophiles are and do, which is primarily opportunistic predators who are not necessarily, quote-unquote, sexually attracted to their victims. The victims are convenient people that they have power over. And then there are, the Humbert Humberts, where they are, pathological pedophiles, which, they do exist, but they're much less common in real-life child abuse cases, from what I understand, compared to, the public image of a pedophile or a child trafficker, which is always painted to be one of these, pathological types, the sort of, minor attracted person, versus the reality where so many of these people are just opportunistic predators, because the concept of the pathological pedophile is just more lurid. And it's like the concept of someone who's consistently fixated on children, and that mythology that comes from Humbert Humbert and the men that he was based on, of this stunted childhood fixation that was cut short. Yeah. If this is not supposed to be a 13-year-old, but is still supposed to be an ironic pasta, I feel like that's a little bit of what's going on here. That it's sort of supposed to be a Humbertian psychology.
It does
happening.
Yeah,
where this is this man's attempt to process this stunted adolescent sexuality.
I feel like that's a legit read, because we know this person's other work.
Because, stunted sexuality is, a core theme of Noveborn.
And, with the TVs and stuff, that feels like a through line through them, to the end, where it's a dead body and stuff, right? But it's I had this shirt when I was a child. All the TVs are kind of, body and visceral and, booby, right? There's, like a fish lady at one point, or maybe she's a fish man. There's tits at one point. I can't remember what. Fawcett? I think she's a Fawcett head.
That's a man. That's a man in a suit with a Fawcett head.
Huh.
I don't think there was any titty going on. There was a woman who's strapped down and gets the executioner axe in the head.
Oh, that's what I remember.
But she's not drawn she booty dies. Or anything. She's just a woman. Wednesday? What? Huh?
I miss remembering what the TV ones are.
Hallucinating boobs.
Go back and look.
The story left you so bereft of anything to actually think about.
Oh no, you're right. Like that one Tumblr post.
There's a million of them. Which one?
You know that one where it's hey, this cop you killed, you can put a gun in his hand, set fire to the house, and it's going to make it look like a suicide, and the other angel is the devil in the wings, ate a lot of steel oats, he might tasty, and then the tubla of, a big titty furry is put a baby in me now,
That one I do know, but I don't remember the post beginning that way. All I remember is big titty tulpa succubus or whatever.
Yeah, it might be two separate posts. But it has that
sorry,
the
one of the big titties has a now.
Yeah, it has a part. It's part of it. It's angel and demons or something like that. That's further reading. That's kind of our further reading for the podcast listener.
Why did you bring that up?
hey, what was the relationship we were talking about?
In the absence of a story, my brain was manifesting Big Booty Women. Is this where that was going with this?
Sure. Hi, coming back to you from the editing booth right now. It turns out, this is embarrassing, we were wrong. There is a TV animation screen with boobs. It's like the eagle-headed woman. If you just read the story, you're probably screaming at us for forgetting this. I apologize to Wednesday for my slander, but I'm leaving this bit in anyway because we both thought it was really funny. Oh, Bambi.
Bambi!
Oh, yeah. You want to be on a microphone?
Wants to contribute.
Hey, you guys, we have a cat now.
Bambi, say hello.
So, you know, from here on out, you might catch some cat noises on the recordings.
Those are for free.
The idea of this being like a intentionally bad and or meant to read as though it was written by a 13-year-old because that's part of the meta narrative kind of threw off a lot of the complaints that I have about the story, because like it's obviously written pretty poorly. There's a lot of like the story is trying to tell you like you should feel really scared by being like, and I was so fucking scared. The story could control my emotions and it made me so scared.
It's really hard to read it post all the other horror that's been out this time and knowing this person was deep into the horror spaces and not read it as an ironic thing. Like, oh, there was all this blood and I was so scared. I was scared, guys. Like, but like, the fact that it might be actually earnest and this person doesn't realize how that's coming off, because like, you are in that space, so maybe you know.
Like the idea that this is unironic is scarier than anything that actually happens in the story.
Yeah, it's really hard to accept that. And like, if it was one of those things where the person was like, yeah, I made all this art and just wanted to connect art to plot as fast as possible to get this before the deadline was out or whatever. Like, that's one thing. That's like, fine, sure, not everything has to be a good story, I guess it should be. But like, if it was not any of the hypotheticals were floating, that's scary to me as well.
It's like, yeah, this is a story that reads more as though it was written to support a bunch of monster designs, a lot of which are really obviously ripped off of, like, popular, like, alien and monster designs. Like, it feels like there is an attempt at like some visual originality as it goes on. Like the eye lemmings are kind of a fun little design.
I like them a lot. I like those a lot.
And they don't feel overly derivative, but a lot of the stuff
really
like
was fresh.
The like skin deer.
Yeah.
I look at that and I'm like, I've fucking seen that before. I know I have.
And, like, I think it'd be, and if it ends up being like an exercise, like a homage, like I was trying to do X, Y, Z, I was trying to do like whatever aliens, you know, from this thing. Like, that's one thing, you know? But like, if it, what, like, outside that really narrow, like, yeah. Otherwise, it's just like, yeah, these are just things you've seen before and it's not really.
Yeah.
I do like the eye lemmings. I like the meat beasts a lot, the tapeworm.
Yeah, that was the other thing that I thought was like a cool design choice, like, because like we get this sort of like fidelity update and they end up looking like an era of like video game design that I think is really cool. Like, I don't really go in for 8-bit so much, but like the specific sort of, oh, I'm trying to think of the name of the game that it reminds me of. Out of This World.
Oh.
That's the name of the game.
Yeah, like, that's cool. Like, if it had done more of that overall in the story, where it was sort of, like, went, like, if it had kept more to the aesthetic of, like, the game as is and sort of, like, ramped up to, like, these other, like, styles, you know? Like, that'd be cool, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like, it goes for sort of a slow build, I guess, with it. Like, the first time that we see, like, impossible resolution, I think it's supposed to be Red's mask.
Yeah.
The first time that we see it.
I think it's cool to have that.
Actually, it might be one of the replacement monsters.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely one of the replacement monsters. But those are still sort of, like, in the realms of possibility if you are doing, like, a mod.
cool to do like a wrongness, a form of something that can't possibly run on a system, and that's sort of like what's alien about it. That's really cool, I think, like conceptually.
Yeah, I mean, because this is also supposed to be happening on just like a regular NES,
I guess. I think, like, he has it hooked up to an emulator or something. I don't know how his setup is. His setup is like those sex scenes in porn where you don't know where everyone's bodies are.
Like, yeah, I mean, because this is supposed to be a real NES, because he gets a real-ass NES cartridge, but it is also somehow hooked up to his computer, which is able to take screenshots.
Yeah.
Another sort of thing on the pile of, like, this is written by a 13-year-old in universe.
Yeah.
Because, like, a 13-year-old doesn't understand that, like, you couldn't hook up an NES to your computer.
Right, like, they live in a post, like, emulator society.
They live in, like, a computer game.
That's true. It's just, like, not... Those things were expected to go together.
And it's just sort of thinking about, like from the perspective of, okay, if I was playing, like, a scary game, here are the cool monsters that I would put in the game because I love Godzilla and I'm 13.
Yeah, it feels a lot like that.
One of the points against this being, like, a 13-year-old, I think, in-universe is, like, how elaborate the setting gets towards the end.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes kids are pretty good at art, but, like, it's kind of advanced, a lot of the stuff. From what I would expect from a 13-year-old.
If you were trying to sell that this was a 13-year-old doing a creepypasta kind of thing, it wouldn't be, like, as put together. But clearly the art is the showcase here. So this person's going to put the whole pussy into
That's the thing.
I do like that it just ends with the outro bit, the end scene of the Godzilla after the big ending. Like, okay, bye, get out of here. It's over.
Yeah, just, like, boots him back to the standard menu.
And no text afterwards. Just, like
kind of a funny joke.
And it's so good to me. I think that, like, I don't necessarily think that constitutes a good story or anything, but, like, it's so
but,
good.
Like, that's not how it ends. It ends with him selling the money back.
Yeah. Just, but, like, the visual of it ends there. And it's sort of like, okay, that's over now. How that one Street Fighter game, like that popular set of images go.
The Chun-Li, ending. Where she's like, now that I've avenged my father, it's time to go be a carefree teenage girl.
Yeah.
Or whatever the hell she says.
Yeah, whatever it is, yeah. It's like that beat.
Now that I've avenged my dead middle school girlfriend,
I can go back to being a 25-year-old gamer.
Well, okay, like, if he was old enough to have been playing NES games, like old enough to been playing Godzilla Monster of Monsters in 88, in 2011, he would have to be in his 30s, right?
Yeah, but he tells us, does he give an age earlier?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't say how old he is. He just says he's an adult with a job. At least I'm pretty sure he doesn't.
Getting back to my 30-year... Well, I can't remember the line I said. Well, put 30 in there. It's obviously just, like, there to facilitate the plot. But, like, I don't expect anyone to have deep memories of their middle school relationships. That sounds wretched. You should purge that from your body. We don't, really, like, get anything that's significant other than she kills herself in front of him. Which I guess is pretty significant. That would probably fuck you up for life. But, like, we don't get anything else, and that seems really weird and absent in the story.
Yeah, like, pretty much the only thing we know is, like, stuff about her, like, symptoms, essentially. That, like, she used to stare off into space and, like, shake and cry.
Handled really poorly.
Yeah, like, she is a non-entity, she is a non-character. She exists to be, like, a sad backstory for Zachary.
Yeah, and it really brings the story down. I think.
Yeah.
She's a core
figure.
There's
a lot of stuff that brings the story down.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of room for people to play in this format. Like, if you want to, like, make scary music or make scary pixels, you don't necessarily also have to learn coding, though it's really, like, you could. But you could also do, like, this and have it be a story, which is cool to think about, like, formatting and construct and stuff.
Yeah, I just think it sucks to read. Like, yeah, I think it is a deeply unenjoyable and uninteresting... Like, that is not the biggest crime, far from the fucking biggest crime of NES Godzilla, but it is deeply, deeply boring because the format of it is extremely thin and unappealing to read.
I think a problem is that it was a story created for the space it was created, and it's a bunch of people who enjoy reading blog articles about games that are just... which is a kind of person I also am. I like when people do game guides and walkthroughs. There are also someone's personal little diary. I like when they're not 100% official. I like not learning the mechanics correctly because this person learned them wrong and I'm reading about it in a game blog. Like, and that appeals to people reading the story in this space that it was, like, birthed in.
Yeah.
But I get that it's a really, really boring hobby to everyone else.
It is deeply unappealing. It, like, I like Let's Plays, because, like, if I'm gonna get this same material, I would rather just watch the gameplay and, like, and hear, like, their voice over the top. Like, the Kingdom Hearts Let's Player that we have been watching, he loves to learn the game wrong, and we yell at him about it.
Yeah, it's so fun!
And it's really fun, but, like, if he were screen capping bits and pieces of his experience and posting them with recap text... Like,
I'd still enjoy it, but it wouldn't be fun to you.
Yeah, I would find something else to do with my time. I can't imagine something more boring.
It might be, like, a small generation divide, but it also might just be a boring hobby that I have and several other people share with me having. It'd be, like, a creepypasta and, like, an instruction manual for, like, a model train, and I'd enjoy that greatly, but I don't think anyone else would, necessarily.
Like, I like the concept of nesting stories within settings that a story does not technically belong in. Like, I have this concept sort of floating around in my head for, like a narrative that takes place inside an RPG manual.
Oh,
right?
So fuck, I love that kind of thing. Yeah. Like, oh my god.
Like, I think that is fun, but an RPG manual is not this, which is unreadable.
It's plotting. Like,
if the writing itself were better, if the writing were stronger and did not read like lit RPG, like bad
it does,
lit RPG,
it does. It's like,
it would be infinitely more readable.
It reads like someone is purposely doing a creepypasta about video games, so it's hard to read it as an earnest thing. Like, his smile is impossibly wide. Like, it reads like that, like you're doing a thing. Like, it's hard to read it otherwise, because that's like, what? Like, I think this person can write better, I guess? It's just,
well, I mean, like, maybe? The worst part of normal porn is the writing itself. Like,
oh,
I think
true.
This person is also just not a strong writer.
Good concept.
Like, in terms
maybe.
Of prose.
You're right. I guess the level of shock covers up a lot of the seams in normal porn, I suppose.
Normal porn is short and direct. It knows what it's doing with its concept, and it handles it very elegantly.
Yeah.
This is so long and clunky and so focused on endless walls of prose describing stuff I could not be paid to give a shit about. Like... And then it's also racist.
Yeah, it's also racist. What is the real world equivalent of Game Freak in real world? A video game magazine. What's a video game magazine? I think that would
review Game Freak
poorly.
Not a real video game magazine?
Oh, it might be. I'm pretty sure it's a Homestuck joke.
I don't think it is. I'm pretty sure Game Freak was real.
Oh, is this real? Okay, I'm pretty sure Game Freak would give it... Oh, it must be real. That does sound real. That sounds real in my mouth. I think Game Freak would give this an unfavorable review before all reviews were, like, bunk in magazines. This broken piece of thing that needed a day one patch, 10 out of 10 stars. No, back then, back in the day, people were like, the devs should kill themselves. 1 out of 10 stars. It's like the best game anyone's ever played. Like,
The Homestuck Game magazine was Game Bro,
Game
by the
Bro,
way.
Oh my god. So Game Freak's definitely the real one, then.
No, Game Freak is a video game developer. Huh. Game Freak developed Pokemon.
You're right.
That's why it was like, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, huh. What the hell is the thing that's in real life as a magazine? What's that thing called? damn.
Wednesday, I would love to cut it right there. I think that's a really funny ending.
You should. Yeah, you have my blessing, my permission.
just fully bimboed, like, I was supposed to be like, yeah, Game Freak, the game magazine.
Well, it looks like we're going to wrap it up there for tonight. What did you think of NES Godzilla? Send us an email, leave a comment, tell us your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. If you liked the show, go ahead and leave a like or a review, rate us, and share us with your friends. On the next episode, we will be reading The Dionea House. This has been the Creepypasta Book Club. Thank you, and good night.